This is the Mean Green Nation podcast. Is it the best? Are we the best North Texas centric podcast in this world? Maybe. You know? I mean, it depends. Depends on your metrics, you know what I mean? And I think the metric is like, hey, do you have an awesome Adam on your show? Well, you know what? This one is the only one that does, and so therefore it probably is the best. That's the way I measure these things, and I'm pretty sure since I graduated from North Texas, I know what the hell I'm talking about. Anyway, so my name is Adam. Who is Adam? Who are you, Adam, and why are you talking to me about North Texas sports? Well, I graduated from North Texas in 2010. I'm from San Antonio. I lived in Denton, Dallas for about 6 years. I stayed there after I graduated for a little bit. Moved back to San Antonio. And I do this Mean Green Nation blog. I've been doing it. It's like about 2009, thereabouts. One of the few sites in this world that does Mean Green Nation talk, Mean Green Nation blog, and Mean Green Nation stuff. So that's me. That's me, pretty much. You know, in a nutshell, I guess. About episode 2 of this podcast, this is 18, by the way, in case you're wondering. I had internet friend Tony join me. Tony, say hi to the people, please.
Hi, I am internet friend Tony. I am also a North Texas graduate, also of 2010. And yet, I don't think I ever ran into Adam.
It's a big university, you know?
It is a big university, that's true. I'm a New Hampshireite, Bostonian, if you want to call me that. But I also lived in Arkansas and Texas, and then back to Arkansas and back to Texas again. So, yeah, all over the place. And I like to talk about North Texas, so I'm here.
Yeah, and so, we do this podcast. We try to do it every week. You know, I run into some problems. You might also find I do another podcast. I do a few things. For whatever reason, this is a hobby. It's only been a hobby for about a year now. I do this one. I do the Deranged Penguin one with a couple of friends from North Texas. Well, two people from North Texas and one other person from Virginia. You know, that guy, whatever. It's funny. You can find that Deranged Penguin. Penguin with the W. PENGWIN. I recommend you listen to it if you like high drinks and funny talk. It's a podcast. It's funny. And then I do like a UTSA one. But that's mostly because I just needed something to do while I was down here in San Antonio. And a bunch of people were like, hey, will you do a podcast? And I was like, all right, cool. Anyway, so it's kind of weird. You know, people often question my loyalty on both sides. But I'm Mean Green through and through. You need to know this in your life. So let's talk. Big news today. Big news in Mean Green world, Mean Green land. Is it land or world? We have world, land, city, town.
It's Mean Green Nation.
Yeah, it's nation. There you go. Good job. Oh, that was easy. I set that up for you. It's like playing ball of bar or something. Big news today. Conference USA 2013, big news. In fact, did you know that this is one of the most popular posts on Mean Green Nation? Like, people are always Googling about Conference USA in 2013. Well, today we found out some things. We already knew that Florida Atlantic and Middle Tennessee wanted to join right away. They didn't want to wait. They were too excited. They didn't want to leave North Texas. That's the way I think about it. And so the East Division of Conference USA going into next year will be comprised of East Carolina, we're leaving, FIU, Florida Atlantic, Marshall, Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, and UAB. The West Division will be Louisiana Tech, North Texas, bing, bing, Rice, Tulane, Tulsa, UTEP, UTSA. Tulane is already going to go to the Big East because they're ridiculous. Tulsa is likely to go to the Big East. So that's going to change. In the future, Old Dominion will be joining the conference. So you'll have that to look forward to. That's me in, 2014, I think?
They're coming in 2014, and Charlotte is coming in 2015, I believe.
Yeah. So there's a lot of this stuff is up in the air. Everybody knows this kind of thing already. But what's interesting is that they've already designated the 2013 matchups, the home and away designations. I think we kind of suspected, this is before Middle Tennessee and Florida Atlantic decided that they wanted to join this season, and so this kind of mucked things up a little bit, but home and away designations, the one thing that was flipped was basically that I thought, and I'd been saying, that North Texas is going to come down to San Antonio, that's where I'm at, but instead UTSA is going to make the trek upwards to Denton to go play in Denton.
You have to come up for that game.
Yeah, I will. I will be coming up to that game. And I've already told
Definitely.
all these UTSA people that know that I'm going to be talking mess to them.
I think you should do two live simultaneously, but that's not the word. Sorry, I can't even say the word. You know what I mean? Just do two live podcasts at the same exact time in the middle of the stadium while your
Oh
teams battle it out.
my God. Well, like I said, my team is North Texas.
That's right.
That's not in dispute here. And so, coming to Denton for you, you likely are in Denton. Middle Tennessee, Rice, UTEP, UTSA. How do you feel about that? You live there in Dallas now. You decided to leave Arkansas and all its backward ways and can move back to civilization in Denton. And you excited about those games? Middle Tennessee, Rice, UTEP, UTSA. These are
Yeah, I
obviously
mean,
not non-conference games. These are conference games, obviously.
definitely excited about Rice, UTEP, and UTSA. I mean, anytime you can bring in three in-state schools and have them come in and fill up your stadium with their fans and hopefully a ton of North Texas fans, I think it's really good. I know UTEP has a huge alumni base in Dallas. I'm sure a lot of people from Rice are going to make the trip up from Houston, and a lot of people from San Antonio are going to make the trip up. So. But it should be really exciting. Middle Tennessee, I don't care about. They come every other year anyways, so whatever.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. It's kind of good. There's a nice little rivalry with the Mutts, you know? I mean, they were kind of like, I don't know how much you care about Middle Tennessee, but they're all right. I think I like making fun of the Arkansas State people because they like Arkansas State fans for whatever reason. They're easily riled up. I mean, you say one thing bad, they're like, "Oh, yeah," they go crazy to it. So it's fun. It's fun messing with them. Middle Tennessee people, I think they're a lot nicer. And they don't really get riled up. I think before the season, I was talking mess. I was like, "Yeah, I'm probably gonna beat you out." And they're like, "Well, that might be the case." I was like, "What is that? What is that?"
you might beat us.
Yeah, this is true. You might beat
I guess everybody in Tennessee talks like this. That's
us.
okay.
Rice. That's gonna be an interesting game. We played them a couple times since I think they destroyed us, right? I think we played them once
Yeah,
since
they
then.
had that game obviously where we went down to Houston and we got dodged, and
Yeah.
it was really, really bad. And then they came up, I think, the next year right after that and played in clouds. And it was actually a really close game. I think we lost by a touchdown or something like that.
I
But they
think it
brought
might have
back a
been.
real good crowd.
I
I
think that was a
mean,
one point
it was
game.
like, I'm pretty sure there was like 25,000 at that game in clouds. So it was a good crowd.
Yeah, I like the Rice thing and the SMU thing. Obviously, we're not talking about non-conference schedules right now, but we play Rice not this season, but the next one. Am I right there? I can't even remember off the top of my head. It doesn't really matter. Like we're gonna start up a little series with SMU, which is fun. Because we have a little hate with
Yeah,
SMU.
that's 2014.
Right. So we'll already have this Rice thing because they're in our division. We'll be guaranteed to play them for the most part. I don't really see Rice moving over to the East Division anytime soon. But they might. That might be the case. But anyway, they're gonna be in the rotation. So that's good. We got Rice, we got SMU in the rotation. Two private schools,
Yeah.
two large cities, two of the largest cities in Texas, and then also, of course, UTSA, public school though.
The awesome thing about that too is depending on what happens with UTEP and whether they end up going to the Mountain West or not, once you start playing SMU every other year, and I'm pretty sure that series runs what, like 8 years, six
Something
or
like
eight
that.
years, something like that. It's a pretty good series. So you're really going to be playing four in-state teams every year, hopefully. I mean, as
Yeah.
long as UTEP ends up staying in there, because UTEP, UTSA, and Rice are going to be in our side of the division no matter what, as long as they're in Conference USA.
Yeah.
So, I mean that's awesome to be able to. I mean, basically, if you recruit kids out of Texas, which is where 90% of our recruiting comes from, anyways, it's like, look, you're gonna be able to have all these games at home. Never mind just your home games or anything like that. I mean, all these games are gonna be in the state of Texas. You might only have to live in the state maybe 3 times a year. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's the thing. It's like, hey, your mom's gonna be able to travel out and see all your games, and that's big. I think I saw somewhere that somebody said that one of the biggest factors. This is kind of obvious, but one of the biggest factors in recruiting is like the closest to home, the nearness to home. If you could be like, look, dude from Louisiana, we swing through here once every other year. You know what I mean? Like that's twice that your mom could just make the short drive to Ruston and see you play. You know what I mean? And then, she could always come out to
Yeah.
Denton. So that's awesome. Yeah, so like I think we had some questions. I tweeted this out earlier, and if you're listening now, now is the time where I'm responding. If you want to send me questions, send us questions. You can just hit me up on the Twitter or send me an email. It's with adam@meangreennation.com. It'd be the easiest way to get a hold of me, or the podcast@meangreennation.com. And you're Boston Mean Green on Twitter if you want to ask him a question, Tony. Let's see. SHGrove90 says, UNT should get to 6 wins this coming season, right? Schedule seems soft compared to last season. Now, I'm not going to really – I've yet to break down the schedule. I don't want to really do that. But I want to look at the schedule. I'm going to look at a lot of this stuff a lot closer later, like in a post. I haven't really had a whole lot of time today. We had like a work function. But anyway, like I'm looking at the schedule. We'll break this down. I think like we had 3 questions. How many wins are you thinking? Thoughts on UTSA and UTEP fans at Apogee. This is by the Riojas_AD. And then RJ Monthy, I think he's blogged on the blog a couple times. He says 8-4 next year if Berglund starts, 24,000 average attendance. I'm down in the Kool-Aid, but we draw versus known teams and in-state unis. So yeah, I guess what we'll do is we'll go through the schedule a little bit right now. Let's go through the home schedule. We don't know. A lot of this is dependent on the obviously the. You know, like the order. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like three road games is obviously gonna be tough to win. You know, versus like, you know, 3 home games, that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
I mean, they haven't, like you said, they haven't released anything yet. I mean, we could end up having 3 road games in the middle of the season, or we could end up having 3 home games in a row, or something like that. So we don't really know how it's gonna go yet, but we definitely at least have the common opponent.
Yeah. So it's break down. This is obvious again. Not non-conference schedule, where we play like Georgia or whatever. This is only the conference schedule. So we have 4 home games. I mentioned this already. Middle Tennessee, Rice, UTEP, UTSA. What do you see? What do you see there? Middle Tennessee, Rice, UTEP, UTSA. Home games.
I do know they have a conference schedule. I'll stop my head if you need it. But no. Let's see. Who do we got? Let's see. I think UTEP's a win. I believe they're implementing a new coaching staff, right?
Right. Yeah. It's
Mike Brooks got fired.
I think what's his name? Sean.
I think that's
Sean
a win.
Kugler.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a toss-up. I think Middle could be a win. I mean, they hammered us pretty well when we went down there last year.
Yeah.
But you know, I think with Berglund, it's the real deal. I definitely don't see why we can't win that game. Rice is a scary one to me. They have a good team and. They took a lot of good teams this year deep. And UTSA, I don't know enough about really to make a solid prediction on that. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, hey, this team's only been around for 2 years. We should be able to beat them.
Yeah.
But then there's another part of me that's like, hey, they've been recruiting really well, and they played a lot of tough people last year and played them really well. So that's a toss-up, I think.
Yeah, I think you made some good points. I think it's weird. Like, we rocked Middle Tennessee State. They came here. We whooped their ass, basically. And then we went over there, and they whooped our ass. But I think a lot of the problem, like, that whole late in the season, that whole second half of the season, a lot of teams kept exploiting the same weakness that we had. Middle Tennessee did it. Arkansas State did it. They did a lot of play action, and they exploited our secondary, a weak part of our defense. And that one that we're trying to shore up, and we're hoping – some of the guys that have been on the roster, and we talked about this, but like, you know, some of the guys we recruited last year, season, Xavier Kelly, DQ Johnson, I think. And then obviously hoping Freddie Warner comes back and is able to play and not get suspended. And, you know, a couple other guys we recruited now. I think there's like this guy, DJ Dean, and this guy that we got from JUCO and whatever. There's a lot of guys coming in, trying to shore up that section.
We just signed a guy today, too, Jermaine Anthony, who had offers from Lafayette and 2 other pretty decent schools. So that was a good get today, too. And he's
an athlete,
projected
right?
as an athlete, but he's projected to play cornerback. So
you can see that they went all in. They're like, give me all your cornerbacks, you know. We needed that to happen anyway. So that's the case. I don't know what, like, it's hard to determine what that's going to be like. If you remember, Middle Tennessee kind of started slowly. I think they lost to Lamar or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But they lost to somebody.
They lost to somebody bad, and then they beat Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and then they went through and they just got good all of a sudden. It's like, yo, and then
And the middle game is also I'm pretty sure that's the game where we lost Chancellor, like the first play of the game or second play of the game, and it killed our offense.
Among other things. But yeah, like that's a big thing. I think we can beat Middle Tennessee State. Especially if they come over here to Denton. Rice. Here's the thing about Rice and UTSA. I agree with you on UTEP, but I'll ignore them for a second. Rice and UTSA are similar, a lot more similar than you think. They're a lot similar to us in that they had very few seniors last season, so did we. They're really, really young. And I don't know, they kind of, you can hear that. It's my dog drinking water. He decided to drink water while I'm podcasting. He's weird like that. Okay, so like yeah, UTSA, like you said, now obviously I follow them a little bit closer than you have. They had a good season, 8-4, but they beat up on scrub teams. That, one of those scrub teams just so happened to be South Alabama, a team that we beat also, and we beat them there. We played them there, right?
No, we put them at home. Gonna
We
have
played
to be
them.
fair, we beat
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, they beat them there in the first game of the season by a field goal, and I don't, Damon Gucknier says, shout out to your dog for drinking water.
Awesome.
It's good. My dog lifts his tail. I don't know what that means. Okay, so like yeah, UTSA is a lot better than you think. And a lot of it, their 8-4 record can seem kind of intimidating, and some of that thing. They play Louisiana Tech kind of close, depending on your perspective and your biases. They're a good team. They have some talent. But I think we can beat them. It depends on they're a lot similarly talented to how we are, but I think we have a little bit, the tiniest bit more depth on our squad than they do. That'll be an interesting game, and I think having them at home will be better than playing them at UTSA in the Alamo Dome with like 30,000 people there. I think that might be a little bit too big of a jump for our guys. I think we play better at home, obviously. It's a definitely winnable game, but I will let you know that a lot of UTSA fans and people are saying they're chalking that one up as an easy win. On the Cougar Chronicles podcast, went through the same schedule and they're like, "Ah, that's an easy win. Count that as a win." A lot of people on Twitter saying the same thing: "Easy win, easy win." So that's a lot of that is because they don't necessarily like North Texas a lot, but some of it is that they don't really know our squad. I would say we are a beatable team. I have a lot of mean and green running through my bones and my blood, but we are a very beatable team. Just like watching the way we played, I thought we could beat Middle Tennessee State, and we got our asses handed to us. And we didn't, it just like our defense is terrible, and our quarterback goes 90 feet above receivers. So there you go, Rice.
That's actually.
But like obviously we're hoping we're basically banking on Brock Berglund. I don't want to, I think I'm like learned a lesson this season in basketball, like thinking, dude, we're gonna be totally good. Tournaments are so awesome. We're gonna be awesome, and we're not so awesome. So I'm scaling it back some. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, Brock Berglund looks like he's good, but I don't know how good. I'll wait to see him. I'll wait till I see some evidence of goodness out there. Rice is good. Same thing. Young team. I think I mentioned this before. They have like similar number of seniors last season, like basically like four or five, or I think it was like 11, honestly. Good team. I think they had 8 wins last season too. They're good, and they like to talk mess. If they bring their band, they'll be talking mess. But I don't know if they'll bring the band. The mob, right?
Yeah, the last time I think I came to that, and I'm pretty sure nobody talked about the game afterwards. Everybody just talked about the two bands because
Really?
it was like their band was supposed to be a hot mess and our band was supposed to be awesome. It was like Battle of the Bands and everything like that. And I think their year before, their band had like talked shit to our band down in Houston, and then I don't know. It's just all this weird stuff. I just remember their band being really cocky and not that good.
I don't know. I haven't seen them live. I do know that they like, I think when we went to Houston, they said something like North Texas is a music school, so I guess be sure to tip your waiters because they're North Texas grads, basically. Yeah, they like to do that, the MOB, mob band. Damon also says on Twitter, did Derek regress last year? Yes. Does his progression this year get him back to mediocre? I don't know. I'm kind of hoping he progresses as a backup quarterback. honestly. I'm saying it right now. I'd like to see what Brock Berglund has, you know, and I'd like to see how Derek Thompson holds a clipboard. No, that's the long and the short of it. I'm not going to lie. I think my preferences are well known. I think everybody's preferences are well known. And I'm sure Derek Thompson, if he listened to this podcast, would say, you know, go F yourself, Adam. You know, I'm the leader of this team. I'm competing. But that's the attitude you want him to have. So, you know, I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we would have been in trouble without him the last 2 years. But I think we've improved a lot from where he is. I mean, like you said, I don't know how many times last year I saw balls go straight over his head when they're wide open and other things like that. And he's just, he's a good quarterback. He's definitely not great. He's not horrible, but he's just kind of mediocre. And, with, you know, hopefully Berglund steps in and can be the kind of quarterback that we all think he's going to be. But like you said, you know, can't count our, you know, chickens before they hatch, as we saw with basketball. I mean, it was, oh yeah, we got the best squad we've ever had and all this other stuff, and bam, we're 8-12 right now. So, you know, it's just we hopefully we see something good. I'm really looking forward to the spring game this year. I really kind of want to see what Berglund does and just see the kind of zip he's got on the ball and the accuracy and everything like that. So hopefully he's what we think he is. They are who they thought we were. Whatever.
You know, the thing, too, is that, like, you know, even if Derek Thompson's a serviceable quarterback, I don't hate the, like, the, what is it called? The Alex Smith type thing. You know, Alex Smith was a good serviceable quarterback, good quarterback for the Niners, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback. And I don't think there's anything wrong with benching a guy that you think that can get you more that way. And, so, like, if you say that Derek Thompson's a good, serviceable quarterback, and I know a lot of fans of his on the message boards, you know, like, that's fine. But if Brock Berglund can get you further, get you more wins, get you more, he has more potential, more ability, then you have to go with him, right? You have to put your best team on the field, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if he's the answer, you got to go with him. Nobody's job is safe from last year.
No.
When you're 4-8, no job is safe.
I think, and you know, it's going to be interesting too that I think Mike Canales kind of got his he got his play calling duties changed. I mean, like I said, I think I mentioned this on one of the posts I did. Is that like Mike is I wasn't the biggest fan of his hire when he got hired Todd Dodge hired him, right? Yeah.
Yes, his last season.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, like I said, I wasn't the hugest fan of his, but, you know, I kind of liked his play call, and I thought he was kind of dynamic, and he brought something to our team, and he helped Riley Dodge play well, I think, you know. So I became a fan. I wasn't like, you know, this guy's, you know, the leader of an offensive revolution, but I thought he was good. And I don't know, like, I think some of the things that plagued him, like, in Arizona, and I think a little bit U.S., F. He played. He coached at South Florida. They're kind of getting him here. Like, he's running into a wall where, like, you know, you look at the team, it was probably the worst team. I think statistically, you can go check this. They were like the worst team that we've had since, like, I think Todd Dodge's first or second year, something like that. I forget what it is, but it's been like it was like the worst team in a few years in this age of offensive revolution. You know,
yeah.
Some of that is like the quarterback we had, maybe. But, you know, you could say that maybe we had a potential backup quarterback that could have done some things and we never let him play. I wonder how much of that is Dan McCarney, his philosophies and stuff. But if you remember Mike Canales' offense, he was more shotgun-based. And I think if you, like, read his, like, philosophies on things, he likes the shotgun. And he likes running with the quarterback a little bit more. And we didn't do a whole lot of that. Some of that might be his personnel again. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But we're getting some kind of changes here. That Quarters, what's his name, right? Quartaro. There you go. That guy, Quartaro.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to get an increased role on the offense. So, you know, there's that.
I'm pretty sure he was offensive coordinator against
right. Yeah.
From during 2002 to 2006.
During the big years, right? Like when they had...
their years that they were pretty good with Donut McGee as the coach, whatever his name is over there. Oh yeah,
Yeah.
Mark Mangino.
Yeah, didn't he the guy that went to Colorado now, right? What is his name? Mark Mangino? Right?
Yeah, he's not a Colorado.
Didn't he go to Colorado? Where'd he go?
He didn't go anywhere. I think he ate himself out of college football.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't they sign him in Colorado? Let me see. Mark Mangino. I'm Googling it.
Colorado got somebody, but it wasn't.
Mark Mangino. I thought they were talking to him. It says he could seek whatever. Okay, yeah, I think you're right. I thought he signed. Who did they get? I don't even know. Man, I'm terrible. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. They're in their big years. He's an air raid guy. At least Mark Mangino is, or was. So anyway, we're gonna see some differences. But by all accounts, Brock Berglund has more tools, right? And so let's see. We'll be able to see if dude can put those tools to use.
I mean, I think
Whatever
we're going to see some
combination.
differences, but I think as long as McCartney's the coach, it's still going to be a ground and pound offense.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I think he gives his play caller some freedom, but I don't think he. I think the final decision comes to him and what he wants to do. I mean, he's gonna do however he wants it.
Yeah, obviously. And that's the thing, is like I don't really care about that. I don't mind a ground and pound offense. I want an effective ground and pound offense. Like, say, Wisconsin was in like the game against Nebraska, because they weren't most of the year, by the way.
Yeah.
But there you go. I don't know. Anyway, but obviously we have some weapons, we have some tools, and if we hand the ball off 100 times a game and then do some play action passes every once in a while, that's fine as long as it's effective. And it'd be important to see, interesting to see what we do on the road. Speaking of the road, let's go through these four road games: Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss, Tulane, and Tulsa. What stands out to you in this little section?
First thing that stands out to me is they're all drivable games, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Tulane and Southern Miss are both 8 hours away. Ruston's about 4 hours, and Tulsa's about 4 hours, so we should be able to bring good crowds to all of them. I don't know what to make. I think we lose to Tulsa. Every time I've seen us play Tulsa, we've gotten killed, and nothing tells me this year that they're going to be any worse than they have been previously. So I think that's probably a loss. Tulane, while they improved last year, I still think we have a chance to go down there and beat them. They're not that great. The dome, while yeah, it's a really big stadium, I'm pretty sure they don't put more than about 20,000 in there. Southern Miss is going to be a cool atmosphere. They always have a cool kind of stadium, kind of unique thing about them. But they're coming with a new, brand new coach and staff. They had a horrible, horrible year last year. It'll be interesting to see how they are, but I think we can win that one. And then Louisiana Tech, even though they're coming off a new coaching staff, I think they are going to have too high powered of an offense for us to really be able to stay with them, especially with our offense being so suspect and our defense. I'm not really sure how the secondary is going to be right now.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and disagree with you on the Tulane thing. They didn't improve at all. They were 123rd overall in rushing. They did beat SMU 27-26 and UAB 55-45 in just these weird spurts of offense. And they played Rice pretty close. They lost by two, but they went 2-and what was that? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 2-and 10. They were terrible. 2-and 6 in conference
I said
USA.
we'll win that one.
Yeah, well, we'll win that one. They, what, 99th in the nation, point score 21. That is more points than we scored. I think we only scored like 20. They're bad. Terribly bad. It is a fun trip, though. That's New Orleans. I know the dudes on the other podcast were talking about, oh, dude, so lame that Tulane's coming here to San Antonio, and we're not going to be able to go there. That's New Orleans' trip, man. It's an easy one to swing. The Southern Miss game, they also sucked. They were surprisingly terrible. I think if 2 years ago you'd be like, oh, geez, Southern Miss is a big game. They're like about as good as Tulsa, maybe.
They went,
But
didn't they go from conference champ to like 0-12?
Yeah, I think they set a record. They went like they won the conference tournament, the conference championship against Houston. They beat
Yeah.
like I think Houston was like 13th or something like
Yeah.
that. They beat them, and then they turned around and didn't win a game. I think for a while. I think did they win any games? Let me look.
I'm
I
pretty
missed.
sure they went 0-12 last year.
I think yeah, they did. They went 0-12. I thought they got around the
That's
one.
why their coach, who was only a coach for 1 year, got fired.
Yeah, among other reasons. I mentioned this, and I might have mentioned this before. But what you want to do is go like to Deadspin and look up their write up on Southern Miss, how they kind of all got turned around and how they're like bleeding money right now. And their AD was he sold a home game against Nebraska for like $2 million to buy out the guy, this former coach. I forget what his name. So yeah, they're like on a downward spiral, and it's crazy.
But yeah, that's right. They were supposed to have a home and home in Nebraska, and they were supposed to get Nebraska to come to Southern Miss. And because they wanted to fire the coach, they sold that game back to Nebraska. So they have to go to Nebraska again, but they got to fire the coach.
Yeah, it's in Hattiesburg, by the way. Yeah, it's what
Yeah, that's where it is.
they just got beat by everybody. They're not competitive in like any one of those
Did
games. They
you?
lost to Memphis. It's
Did you see
terrible.
Southern Miss's home schedule, by the way? Their fans are going to be pissed.
Let me see. What do they have?
FAU, FIU, Middle Tennessee, and North Texas. They have four Sun Belt teams coming in Hattiesburg. I mean, they're going to sell some tickets.
Yeah, you know what? I think Matt Hinton. He used to write the Dr. Saturday blog for Yahoo, and then I think right now he writes for SB Nation and Football Outsiders. He basically said as much. He was like, "Wow, glad they expanded the stadium for those teams." I don't know. Are you planning to go? Do you want to go see Southern Miss at Southern Miss? You feel like going to Hattiesburg?
There's a part of me that wants to. Like, I think it'd be kind of a cool trip just to go out and see their stadium and see how they do things out there. But is there anything like around there? Is there some like casinos or something I can go hang at? Because if not, I don't want to drive all the way out to Mississippi to go do
Well,
stuff.
I'm sure like I could find some place to go because like my friend Dell from the Deranged Penguin podcast, you might know him from there. He went to Southern Miss. He got like one of his 9 master's degrees from there. And yeah, and like so I'm sure he could show me a good time in Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. But like I think obviously the obvious one is Tulane. I don't really want to go to Tulsa. I mean, like I have a thing about going to Oklahoma. Like there's no reason to go to Oklahoma.
I went to Tulsa when we played up there, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, how was that?
And it was horrible. I drove from Arkansas. I only lived like 2 hours from Tulsa at the time. And I drove out there, and the stadium is horrible. One, there's no parking. You have to park in the neighborhood and walk to the stadium. Two, their tailgating like sucked. They had like one road. It's like, hey, we got a bunch of people tailgating, but it kind of sucks because you're not really allowed because you're North Texas people. And then you got to the stadium. The stadium's old, and they just kind of renovated it and added a new section and stuff like that. But when you sit there, they put you out in the they put you on the side, but you're like looking straight into the end zone from like the side view, and the seats are pointed straight to the field, and you can't like you have to like turn your neck to look at all the field because you're basically looking straight into the end zone, and it's just like bleacher seats, and you have to like shift your whole body to look at the 50-yard line, and
That's weird.
it's retarded, and it was horrible, and we got killed. And Derek Thompson didn't play, McNulty played, and we got killed. It just sucked.
Just a bad time all around for you then, huh?
Yeah, and then I had to drive home.
Sucks. That sucks. So yeah, I don't really plan to go to Tulsa. I think maybe Tulane, that might be fine. Going to New Orleans. And I don't know, like Louisiana Tech, I hear that's a good game day experience out in Ruston. Maybe that's I'll go to that, you know?
Yeah, and I think Harry on Gummy and Green said he went to Ruston a couple years ago, back in like 06 when we played them, and he said that you can stop in Shreveport because it's like right along the way to Ruston, and you can go out there and like play in the casinos and do all that kind of stuff, and then go to Ruston and everything like that. So it should be kind of a cool little trip.
Yeah, I got a couple friends that like going to Shreveport, so maybe I don't know. See that's a good trip, and I think New Orleans, the Tulane one's a good trip, and I think I want to go out to like Athens, Georgia, and see the Georgia game. But like as far as conference games, I think maybe there's only like 2 or 4. I don't really want to go to Hattiesburg, and
Do
I'm
you
not the
go
huge
to
fan of Tulsa.
Ohio?
No, I'm not doing that either. Yeah, but like, I think I'm definitely coming up for the first game of the season, whenever we play that one. Who do we play?
Idaho on August 31st.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that one. And then obviously the UTSA one, that's going to be a good one, get a fun one. It'd be like a first rivalry game. Maybe yeah. The Rice one, depending on like what order they're in. Obviously, I'll probably go up there. But the UTSA one would be fun.
I really hope we play UTSA on Thanksgiving. I want to start like a cool like Thanksgiving rivalry.
Yeah, you know what? We hadn't talked about that, but yeah, like I've been a proponent of that. Like either Rice or UTSA, it'd be fine. I just want somebody that's within driving distance, because that's a short drive. It's 4 hours from San Antonio there. So like a lot of students will make it. I mean, cause a lot of people are like, oh, there's like cheap flight. But most people are going to carpool, for that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a cheap flight. It's like, what, $50 if you plan it right on Southwest. I think the hardest thing is like getting rent a car, Cause like you go to Dallas, you need a car out there. You can't just hoof it, or I don't know if you want to navigate via.
You need to take the train from Dallas to Denton, but.
But then you have to have like some kind of familiarity with all that stuff, right?
The train's really weird because they like shut it down at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's so weird. But yeah, anyway, so it'll be a good time. That one, it'll be fun seeing, especially like with all the UTSA people I know. I get to talk some mess to them. I've already talked some mess on Twitter. You out there can suggest what you think. Let me know. I want to know what you think. Who do you hate? Would you rather play on like Thanksgiving? Would it be Rice or UTSA or something like that? Even though like I guess a carryover rival would be Middle Tennessee. I'm way more excited about playing Rice than UTSA. And then a little bit UTEP. They're a Texas school, but only technically. I think UTEP is... El Paso is not really Texas. Tulsa is obviously one. I think a couple of guys, like DJ MCLD on Twitter, is like, yeah, I'm totally don't like Tulsa because they beat us a couple of times. Like, for whatever reason, I don't really get it, but a lot of people think that Tulsa is our rival or a potential rival.
No.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that idea, but, whatever.
One, they kill us every time we play them. Two, they're about to go to the Big East.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so I don't want them. So they can go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw in Tulsa World today someplace, they were kind of showing the Big East and the Mountain West Conference. And it does, like SMU and Tulsa are obviously in the Western side of that, or the eastern side of that, the Big East section.
And Tulsa's a private school, just like SMU.
Yeah, they do so much better than us, man.
Yeah. Do you know they have the smallest campus or like smallest student body of any Division I school?
I didn't know that.
They only have like 1,500 students or something crazy small like that. Like it's ridiculous.
Well, there you go.
Maybe it's not 1,500. I might have lied about that. Might have been like 10,000.
You're going to have to Google that, man.
It's still really tiny.
Google it. All right. So, obviously, the flip side of this, like, the rules are, like, if you didn't know, I think with the good resource, I mean, this has been, like, reprinted, like, everywhere. But I'm using, like, fbschedules.com, which is a good site. And they kind of tell you the deal. Like the way it's going to happen is like you're going to play all your division mates each year, and then you're going to play one of the other side. And in case you hadn't noticed, our one of the other side is what is it? Middle Tennessee and Southern Miss.
Tulsa, by the way, has 4,000 students. 3,000 undergrad, 1,000
postgrad. There you go.
Sorry, I couldn't really hear you. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say anything. Middle Tennessee and Southern Miss are our two Eastern Division foes. And so that's going to rotate. So we don't have to deal with, like, Middle Tennessee. I think we're probably going to see, like, because, like, East Carolina's leaving, so we won't ever see them. But, like, we'll get, like, Marshall and Florida Atlantic and FIU and UAB. And that'd be fine. And, like, hopefully it's, like, one of former Sun Belt and then one of these other ones, like Marshall or UAB. Or whoever replaces East Carolina. And obviously, like, Old Dominion and Charlotte coming in, too. But, yeah, there you go. That's good. That's decent. I like it. I can take it. I'll do it. like I said, I'm most excited about Middle Tennessee. UTSA and Rice. little bit Louisiana Tech, a little bit Tulsa. I mean, not Tulsa, but you know they're leaving. A little bit Southern Miss, but mostly UTSA and Rice. I wish they'd have split that up though. I wish we would have got like home at Rice, away to UTSA.
Yeah.
I think that's my knock.
It's going to be really weird if we have to go to Rice, to UTEP, and to UTSA next year.
Yeah, that is weird. But, I mean, they're all drivable. But it'll be home to Louisiana Tech, which is fine. And then home to, you know, whoever replaces Tulsa and whoever replaces Tulane. But, like, I don't know. Maybe they'll switch it all around and, like, mix it up and, like, say, all right, well, you'll play. You'll double it up and get home at Rice again, or you know what I mean? Whatever. I don't know. It's all up in the air. I don't really like to plan that far ahead because you never know what's going to happen.
You know what is nice about the schedule?
What's nice about the schedule, man?
We don't have to play FAU or FIU. And it's nothing against the schools. We just don't have to go to Florida.
Kind of
a pain in the ass for our team to have to travel to. Though, going to Miami and or Boca Raton is kind of a cool place to be able to go see a game. You know, somebody like me, I'm not spending money to go fly out there.
Yeah. For a little bit, like, the other alumni, they like to do that. And also, it's kind of a cool trip for, like, the players. You know what I mean? You get to go out there and hang out on the beach. I think Tyler Hall, former basketball player, has, like, a couple pictures of him out there like on the beach, you know, like when they did the Florida trip and they played him in basketball. Yeah. That's the thing, is that basketball is going to play all these teams, you know?
Yeah, basketball is going to be crazy because there's going to be like 16 teams in the conference.
Yeah.
Or something insane.
I think I heard something where they're like going to play everybody twice and then like one team three times, or everybody at least once and then one team twice. I forget what it was. I think that would just talk at the moment. They haven't really mentioned what that's going to be like. That'd be interesting to see what happens or who they decide is worthy of twice or whatever. I'm hoping that they kind of make a swing through San Antonio so I could see him without having to travel. But, you know, that's it, man. That's it.
Yeah, the good thing for you in San Antonio is you're going to get a lot of our other sports like basketball, softball, soccer, volleyball probably. You know, you're going to get a lot of those kind of little secondary sports where you're going to get to see a lot of North Texas games down there. So that's
totally, man. I'm excited about it. I want to see that soccer team. You know, they're good. I want to see them. I want to see the basketball team. Everybody else, I don't know yet. Maybe we'll get a baseball team. We'll come down here. I know UTSA has a baseball team, so maybe
I hope we do get one because I know Rice is pretty good.
Yeah, Rice is good too.
There's some good baseball schools.
Some good competition out there. Yeah. Speaking of good competition and basketball, tomorrow night, Thursday, at 7 p.m., Middle Tennessee comes to town. They beat us earlier this season, 75-57. I think the game was on TV. That was New Year's Eve. And, we got throttled. Again, now they're 16-4, 8-1 in the conference, and we are, what did we say we were?
8-12.
8-12, 3-16 in conference. We followed up, speaking of the Florida trips, we followed up a bad loss, or like, we blew it late. We followed up a loss against Florida International, 70-64, with a win against Florida Atlantic, at Florida Atlantic, obviously. 61-59, in which, Tony Mitchell dominated, had 24 points, so did Jordan Williams also. He had like 16, I think, and, Roger Franklin tipped in the ball, like, almost a buzzer beater, sent it to overtime at 53, and we won in overtime. So some good signs, some stirrings. I don't know how excited to be anymore, man. I really don't. In that game against Florida International, Tony Mitchell did not score. And like I said, that was kind of coming. Because he had a couple bad games where he only shot the ball like three times. And he made like a shot or hit a free throw and he only had a couple points. It was only a matter of time if he has another game like that, that he just doesn't make a basket. That one basket that he made last time, he doesn't make it this time. You know? So that was kind of coming. It was not really that shocking. But there was kind of a big hubbub. I think Tony Benford's answer was like, oh, God damn it, shoot more. Well, he did. He shot. He shot 20, you know, he made 24, 20, he made 24 points. That sounds ridiculous. What did he shoot? He shot 8 of 19, 19 shots. You know, 2 of 6 from the three, 6 of 13 from the field, 6 of 11 from the free throw line.
That's how I picture Tony Benford talking, by the way. God damn it, team, shoot more balls. You know, you gotta shoot more. We can win the game.
Yeah, I think what did we? What was our free throw? We shot 31 free throws, and Florida Atlantic shot 17. I think I made mention of this somewhere on one of these blogs that we're really good at shooting free throws. We suck at shooting threes, even though in that last game we went 2 for 9. Tony Mitchell made the only ones, and you missed 4. That's really it. I think I said we got to play defense, but we're losing our depth because I think we you know we're down. What is it? Did Austin Mitchell didn't even play? Obviously, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys. Yeah, 7 guys played in that last game. And Keith Coleman only played 9 minutes. Yeah, PJ Hardaway played 45, Tony Mitchell 41, Jordan Williams 41, Roger Franklin 39, Nico 32, Justin Patton 18. And Justin Patton's like kind of shaky right now. That's how it's going to be. We got to attack the basket. That's where we make our shot. We shoot a little bit better than everybody else in the conference at free throws. We just got to get to the line. And so as far as being aggressive, Tony Mitchell needs to be aggressive and, you know, get to the line. That's basically it. He made, you know, at 6 extra points from the line. Unbelievably. Jordan Williams went 8 for 8 from there. That's basically what we got to do. That's our role. We're not going to be able to do that pressing defense and press teams, you know, all game. But I don't know. How much hope are you holding out still?
What's the number after 0?
It's a 1, I think.
Yeah. I have no hope. Every part of me is like, hey, let's get this team to Hot Springs and maybe they'll be healthy and maybe they can make a run. But every time I think they're going to do something, you have bipolar Tony Mitchell who put up 28 points one game and then not even put up a point the next. So I don't know. I don't really know what to think. I'm just kind of along for the ride. And like, you know, the other day I get little text message updates when they play. And like, you know, I saw the one that they lost. I was like, oh, they lost. Wow. And then I got the one the next day. They're like, oh, they won. Wow. Like my indifference right now is just, it's just not there. I'm not excited. I don't really have any hope or anything with it. It's just kind of ready for the season to be done with almost.
I was in class for the Florida International game, which I will be like on Thursday. I'll be in class tomorrow, so I won't be able to see much of it. But like you know, like I couldn't see much of the Florida Atlantic game. What the hell was I doing? I was doing something. I think it was somebody's birthday party. So like I was kind of like checking my phone, like you were, and I kind of had a similar reaction that Florida International game. I kind of expected that letdown. A lot of guys are playing a lot of minutes. I thought maybe it was like, yeah, this is kind of, I don't know how much they can keep this up. So it was unsurprising, is it? And especially with all the injuries, it's kind of hard to. What is it? Like, it's kind of hard to continue to judge Tony Benford when he has all these injuries. Because that is a factor. It's hard to coach anybody when you don't have, like, 6 guys. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But it does force steady rotation. And I wonder, seeing how well Jordan Williams has played recently, how much of that is because he's getting a lot more minutes. And he gets to see, he can get a feel for the game, et cetera, and so on and so on. Again, doesn't really matter what happens in the regular season. Unfortunately, you know, that's the way of college basketball. You see some good games, they're entertaining, but they don't really mean much at this point for us because we're not getting, we're not battling for like a number 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. We have to win the conference tournament, and that's the end of it. It's the long and the short of it. And so all this is prep for that. Middle Tennessee tomorrow night, and then Arkansas Little Rock on Saturday. That's what you have coming up this week, and we'll talk about it next week on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we're done. We're about done. Any last minute things you want to talk about, buddy? You got some Cowboys hot sports opinions or something?
Yeah, how are you stupid enough to drive drunk like 6 weeks after your teammate drove drunk?
Dude.
But, you know, that's just dumb. Especially when the NFLPA gives you a number and says, hey, call this number and we will bring a free car to you to drive you home after you drink.
Yeah.
So that stuff's pretty cool. So that's kind of blown up here in Dallas right now. That's all over the sports talk waves, and then the Bill Callahan thing's all over the place right now, dude. But nothing else in North Texas, man. I'm excited about the schedule. We have six home games this year, which is awesome. If people don't know, Idaho and Ball State, I believe, are the two teams that are coming here, and we're going also to Ohio and Georgia. So should be a fun schedule. Looking forward to football season, ready for the spring game already, and that's still like 3 months away.
Yeah, National Signing Day is what, the third,
Yeah,
fifth?
like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, by the way, that guy that we signed today had an offer from Texas A&M. So suck on
Interesting.
that, SEC. He came to the Conference USA. I almost said Sun Belt,
Yeah.
but.
Well, we'll be breaking some of that down. I did like a little post on it last season. I'm not the hugest fan of recruiting. I'm telling you, man. Like, again, I think I always quote this, is that like on the other podcast, the Cooler Chronicles podcast, one time I talked with Dan McCarney, the nephew of our Dan McCarney, the beat writer. He's a beat writer for the Spurs now, but he
Is
was
he
at
really
the,
a nephew?
yeah, that's no lie. He was a beat writer for the UTSA team, the UTSA Sports at the time. And I was like, we were talking about recruiting. It was around National Signing Day at the time. And so I guess it was about a year ago. And he was like, yeah, look, my dad always said, or my dad, my uncle always says, in any recruiting class, you get like a third of it is like contributors and players that, hope will start and make a difference. The other, third, you kind of hope we're just there and like stay on the team and just kind of play backup spots and just be there. And then the final third, you kind of expect them to like transfer, not be there, like basically fall off the face of the earth. And that would be a good recruiting class, an ideal recruiting class. And he calls it like the rule of thirds.
That's
And I
cool.
was, yeah, I was kept that in mind, especially since, his uncle, our coach, said that. And so, like, I figure he probably has a similar philosophy right now. So that's kind of it going forward. A lot of cornerbacks, a lot of defensive backs in this class. We'll see. We'll break it down. I'll look at it. I'll wait till it all shakes out. I don't really get to the, oh, we stole a lineman from Texas A&M. I'm like, oh, or I mean, Texas State. What does that mean? Like, I don't know. We'll see who signs when they sign. And a lot of that doesn't even matter. We signed a lot of guys last season that didn't show up on the field this season. Or may not make an impact until like 3 years from now. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
so we'll know in 3 years how awesome this class is. So we'll get back to
Yeah. We'll get back to you in 3 years. Remember this. Bookmark this. Yeah, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. I don't know how you listen to it now. Maybe you clicked on the site and you listen to it at work, you're streaming it or something. But you can subscribe. Up on the top, there's a link to subscribe or podcast. I forget what it says. Click that. Click the link that says subscribe. In your favorite podcast app, I use Podcasts or Cast app. It's like $3 on iTunes or the App Store. You use the podcast app. That's Apple's default one. I use that for a while, but it kind of updates slowly sometimes. So there you go. Or you can just look on the site, or just subscribe via like Google Reader and play it in the player. There's lots of ways, man. Lots of ways to do this thing.
You should listen to us live though, because it's a lot funner. Because
Yeah,
we
you
say
do.
stupid things.
Yeah, you do that too. You can tweet. You can contribute into the show.
That's right.
If you want to get a hold of me, you can tweet at me. It's Mean Green Nation. My personal account is Aztec Skin. So I just talk about stuff. Email me, adam@meangreennation.com. If you have like an idea, you're like, dude, I want a blog. I just gotta get this burning post off my chest. I gotta write it. Email me and we post it on there. We do it. Don't confine it to a message board. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. What else? Yeah, leave a review. I want to see what you have to say in iTunes. Please, it's interesting. I like the review. If you hate it, if you love it, if you're like, dude, where in the hell is Justin Brummett? He's awesome. He started school. You can find him. I think he said he might call the game tomorrow. So tweet at him. He said he's gonna do
Nice.
the play-by-play or something. That dude, yeah, that dude's moving up. He just signed up for school and he's like already doing play-by-play. Jeez, at least on the TV side. I don't know. You want to tweet at him for details. So that's where he is. We'll have him on maybe for the signing day thing. We didn't just abandon him. But yeah, so there's that, man. There's
And
that.
yeah, definitely review us because we know we suck. but hey, it's
Hey,
cool.
hey, 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 speak for yourself. I'm awesome, man.
I know. I'm but just let us know either way.
Yeah, let us know if you agree or disagree. And if you
be
disagree,
like,
I probably
Tony has
will.
a great voice. Be like, oh.
Tony's so much better than you, Adam. You do that too, man. It's fine. It's fine. Other than that, we're done here. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
All right.